Will you please turn to Matthew chapter 24? We'll read from verse 34. Matthew chapter 24, start with verse 34. Verily I say to you, this generation will not have passed away until all these things shall have taken place. The heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall in no wise pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of the heavens, but my Father alone. But as the days of Noah, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as they were in the days which were before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day on which Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not till the flood came and took all away, thus also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two shall be in the field, one is taken and one is left. Two grinding at the mill, one is taken and one is left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not in what hour your Lord comes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll read from verse 13. But we do not wish you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that are fallen asleep, to the end that ye be not grieved, even as also the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus has died and has risen again, so also God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For this we say to you in the word of the Lord, that we the living who remain to the coming of the Lord are in no way to anticipate those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself, with an assembling shout, with archangel's voice, and with trump of God, shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we the living who remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be always with the Lord. So encourage one another with these words. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank Thee that we can meet together in the name of Thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we praise and thank Thee, because we do know that Thy presence is here with us. So, Lord, we do remove our shoes, for we are standing on holy ground. We do wait upon Thee, listening to what Thou hast to say to us tonight. Lord, speak, Thy servants hear it. We commit this time into Thy hands and ask Thy Holy Spirit to bring us into the Spirit of Thy Word. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. During the first session that we have on Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25, we shared on this matter of the signs of the time. We know that we today are living at the end of the end days. And thank God, even though we do not know the hour, the day, of His coming. Yet He does give us many signs so that we may judge these signs, discern these signs, and know how to behave, how to act. During the second session, we shared together on this matter of the parousia of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. Our Lord today is absent from this world, even though His Spirit is here. Even though He does come in His Spirit and He dwells in us, He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is always with us. And yet, in another sense, He is absent today. But we do thank Him, knowing that He has promised us that He will come back again. He will come back to take us to Himself. And this is our blessed hope. So, brothers and sisters, we have a hope. And that hope is the presence of the Lord. And we know that the presence of the Lord is very, very near. We do desire that we may have within our hearts a real love for His presence, a real longing for His presence. I do hope that daily we will tell Him how much we miss Him. We want Him come. This evening we would like to consider another subject very closely related to the parousia, the presence of the Lord. And that is the rapture of the saints. You will be surprised to find that the word rapture is not in the Scripture. It is a word that has been and is being used among believers when we talk about this matter. And yet, that word is not in the Scripture. What you find in the Scripture are words in English such as receive, take up, seize, caught up. Now these are the words that you will find in your Bible. Even though these are different words, and yet when you go to the original Greek, you will find basically that word is lambano, which means to receive or to take. Sometimes it is ana, lambano. And ana means up. In other words, to receive or to take up. Now you will find this word in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, until that day in which, having by the Holy Spirit charged the apostles whom He has chosen, He was taken up. Verse 11. Men of Galilee, why do ye stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven shall thus come in the manner in which ye have beheld Him going into heaven. Taken up into heaven. Verse 22. Beginning from the baptism of John unto the day in which He was taken up from us, one of these should be a witness with us of his resurrection. Now, in these three instances that we have just read, the Greek original is ena lembano. But in other places you find it is still lembano, but it is para lembano. And we all know para, the meaning of it. In other words, taking or receiving unto himself. And that is the word that we find in Matthew chapter 24, the verse that we have already read. Verse 40, then two shall be in the field, one is taken and one is left. Two grinding at the mill, one is taken and one is left. Now the word taken there is para lembano. And also you can find it in Luke chapter 17. Verses 34 and 35. I say to you, in that night, there shall be two men upon one bed. One shall be seized, and the other shall be let go. Now, that is my version. But even though it used the word seized, actually it's para lembano. And then in verse 35, the same thing. Two shall be grinding together. One shall be seized, and the other shall let go. Two men shall be in the field. 36. The one shall be seized, and the other let go. The same word as we find in Matthew chapter 24. And also another place in John chapter 14. Verse 3, you remember our Lord Jesus, he comforted his disciples, saying that, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many abodes. Were it not so, I have told you, for I go to prepare your place. And if I go and shall prepare your place, I am coming again and shall receive you to myself, that where I am, ye also may be. Now that word is para lembano. And then we find there is another Greek word used with more or less the same meaning. And that word is herpago, herpazo. And the word herpazo means snatch away or cut away. And this is the word, for instance, it is used in Acts chapter 8. We remember the story about Philip, how in the desert he preached Christ to that eunuch, and then after that eunuch was baptized, suddenly you find he was snatched away. And that you find in chapter 8, verse 39. But when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no longer, for he went on his way rejoicing. And the same word, herpazo, is also used in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul was relating his experience that happened to him 14 years ago, before he wrote this letter. And in verse 2 he said, I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or out of the body I know not, God knows, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And verse 4, that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable things said, which it is not allowed for man to utter. Now, in these instances, you'll find the word used there is herpazo. So in the Greek, you find there are several different words being used. But all these words carry the same meaning, and that is why we have the term rapture. Because all these words speak of rapture. So when we talk about rapture, I hope, brothers and sisters, you will not say now it is not in the Bible. The fact is there. The Greek words are there. But the English translation never used that word rapture. I believe all believing Christians believe that the saints, the church, will be raptured. We are a heavenly people. We belong to heaven. We do not belong to this earth. We are here as sojourners and strangers. So it is but natural that one day we will be raptured. Because that's where we should be. The Apostle Peter, he says, even though we do not see him, we love him. Physically speaking, we do not see him today. And yet we love him. Though not looking, but believing, we exult with joy unspeakable and are filled with the glory. Now, brothers and sisters, none of us have seen the Lord physically, even though spiritually we do see him. And yet, we love him. When we think of him, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and filled with glory. Now that is our situation today. What will it be if one day we see him face to face? Now if today not seeing him, we are filled with joy unspeakable. I wonder, when we see him face to face, what kind of joy that will be. The Apostle John says, see what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we are called the children of God. We are not only called the children of God, but we are the children of God. What we shall be, we do not know. But we do know when he is manifested, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. In other words, today we are God's children. And what a privilege, what an honor it is. But there is something even better waiting for us. Because when Christ shall be manifested, we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. Is it not sometimes it grieves our heart that we do not like Him. How we long that we will be like Him. And one day, when we see Him as He is, because today we only see Him dimly, but one day we shall see Him as He is, and we shall be like Him. Do you look forward to that day? The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3. He said, our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we belong. From which we await our Lord Jesus, Savior, who will transform this body of humiliation into the body of glory, according to the power of Him who works all things. One day, when He shall return, this body of humiliation, do you feel this body really humiliates you? I do. I feel myself so humiliated because this body limits me. But thank God one day this body will be changed into the body of glory. Do you look forward to that day? I think it is but natural for us to be raptured. If there is no rapture, it isn't right. Yes, one day we will be raptured. We will be taken and received into His presence. And we shall be with Him forever. I don't think there's a problem with this. I think we all agree. But our problem with rapture is there are so many different interpretations, not on rapture, but on the time and the number of rapture. Now thank God there is no problem on rapture itself. Our problem is only with the time of rapture or with the number of rapture. So really it is a minor problem. Basically, there are three different schools of interpretation. Now remember, interpretation is not the Bible. It is interpreting the Bible. So if you happen to hold a different interpretation, it doesn't mean you do not believe the Bible. Now, I had this problem. And it happened in South America. Not in Brazil. In Peru. When I was in Peru, in the jungle, by the Amazon River, there were believers scattered around. And when I was there, they happened to have a convention. So believers will walk through the jungles and gather together in one place called Yurimagua. There was no road into it. I flew in. And people gathered together to have a convention. And because I will be leaving the next day, so the native brethren, they asked if I could speak at the first evening meeting. So I agreed. I live with a couple who love the Lord very much, American couple. They were missionaries in Peru for many years. I visited them at that time. So I stayed with them. And before the convention began, another elderly missionary from the neighboring village arrived. He was an Englishman. And before we were having supper in that house, we began to fellowship. And this brother happened to come from an exclusive brethren background. So, you know, he tried to figure out where I stand. So he began to ask me questions after questions. And of course, I tried to answer him. But I know that this is just a prelude. I know what is going to come. And sure enough, after he has asked a few questions, out came this question. He said, "What do you think of rapture?" I tried to avoid the question because I knew what the exclusive brethren hold on this matter of rapture, or what they are against. So I said, "I believe in rapture." And then he said, "When?" "How many times?" Well, I know he believed in pre-tribulation rapture. And one time, the whole church will be raptured before the great tribulation. So I said, "Brother, this is the way that I feel today. But I'm open for correction." And I told him how I felt. And immediately he said, "You do not believe the Bible." I said, "Brother, I believe the Bible just as you are. It is a matter of interpretation. And today I have to accept an interpretation that seems to satisfy me. Now if tomorrow there is a better and more satisfying interpretation, I'm ready to receive it. I do believe the Bible." He said, "No, you don't believe the Bible." So after supper, we were walking to the meeting place. And while we're walking, you know what he said to me? He said, "If you speak, I will not speak." Well, he came from a neighboring village. So I told the brother whom I stay with, I said, "Brother, I don't want to cause any problem. If this is the position he took, and he is in a neighboring village, then I will not speak." So I didn't speak. And of course, it caused some problem. Because the native brothers, they met together the next morning and want to know why I didn't speak. But anyway, I'm just telling you this to protect myself. Thank God we all believe the Bible. And we do find, even though there are three different schools of interpretation of rapture, and yet you find dear saints of God in all these camps. They are all Bible-believing saints. So we should love them all. Now, basically, there are three. One is pre-tribulation rapture. The whole church will be raptured before the great tribulation comes. The second school is post-tribulation rapture. The whole church will go through the great tribulation and then will be raptured. And the third school is some in the church who already will be raptured first, before the great tribulation, and the rest will go through the tribulation to be ready to be raptured. So, basically, there are these three schools of interpretation. I do not know what school you belong to, but that doesn't matter. Now, all these schools base their interpretation upon the Bible. They all quote scriptures. And sometimes they quote the same scriptures. Let me give you some. People who believe in pre-tribulation rapture. Number one, they said, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. You remember the Apostle Paul said, how you turn away from other idols to God, to serve the living God, and verse 10, and to await His Son from the heavens, whom He raised from among the dead, Jesus our deliverer from the coming wrath. So here they said, our Lord Jesus, we are waiting for His coming to deliver us from the wrath to come. And in the same book, in verse, chapter 5, verse 9, because God has not set us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the interpretation is the wrath to come is the great tribulation, or at least include the great tribulation. So, the great tribulation is the wrath of God, and He delivers us from the wrath of God. And that is, deliver us from the great tribulation. Number two. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6 and verse 7. There it mentions Jacob's trouble. So the interpretation is, the great tribulation is nothing but Jacob's trouble. And because it is Jacob's trouble, so it is limited to the Jewish people. It has nothing to do with the church, because the church has already been raptured. Number three. Revelation chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2. And after these things I saw, and behold, a door open in heaven, And the first voice which I heard as of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show thee the things which must take place after these things. Immediately I became in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in the heaven, and upon the throne one sitting. The interpretation is Revelation chapter 2 and 3 speak of the prophetic history of the church. From the first century to the coming of the Lord. And because Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is the prophetic history of the church of God on earth. Therefore, in chapter 4, when the voice said to John, Come up, John was raptured as a representative of the whole church. And after that, you'll find the word church is not used until the last chapter. So they say the church has to be raptured. John represents the church and raptured. Number 4. They quote Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. We do not need to go into it because we have already read it. There will be a shout. There will be the trumpet sound. And then the dead will be raised. And those who live and remain will be transformed. And all will be caught up to the air to meet the Lord there. Now that is the rapture of the church. Number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 50 to verse 52. Now of course we know 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is a chapter on resurrection. And there it speaks of verse 50. But this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom, nor does corruption inherit incorruptibility. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So here you'll find the dead in Christ and the living, they are all raised and raptured. And of course, number 6, they use Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Watch and pray that ye may escape these things and stand before the Son of Man. So you find you escape these things. You escape. So you escape the great tribulation. The whole church has been raptured. And then number 7 is Revelation 3:10. The Lord said, If you keep the word of my patience, I will keep you out of the hour of the trial that shall come upon the whole earth. And the trial that shall come upon the whole world, of course, is the great tribulation. So here you'll find that you are keep out of the hour. In other words, when the great tribulation happens on this earth, you are not there. It's not keep through it, but keep out of it. So these are roughly the reasons that the pre-tribulation rapture people believe. Now let's go through a little of the post-tribulation rapture, and they quote scriptures too. Number one is 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 9. There you'll find the Apostle Paul says, "Now, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, let not your mind be shaken, saying that the day of the Lord is present." He said, no, there are two things that have to happen. One is there will be apostasy, a general falling away. That is, the church will have a general falling away, apostasy happening, to prepare the way for the appearing of the man of sin. That is the Antichrist. So in other words, the Antichrist has to come first before Christ will come. So all you need to do is look for the Antichrist. And then you know when Christ will come. Now, of course, if that is the case, that the whole church will go through the great tribulation. Because when the Antichrist, the man of sin, will uplift himself as God, that will be a great tribulation to the church. So the whole church will pass through the great tribulation before they will be raptured. Number two. Using the same scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 to 52. The reason there is, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sounding of the last trumpet, then the dead will be raised, and the living will be transformed. In other words, when will the dead in Christ be raised? At the last trumpet. Where can we find the last trumpet? If he says the last trumpet, then there must be a series of trumpets. And the only series of trumpets we find is in Revelation. There you'll find the seven angels will blow the seven trumpets. And by the time that the seventh trumpet was blown, it is said, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. So in other words, the great tribulation has already passed. So that's post-tribulation, a post-tribulation rapture. And then number three, there you'll find in Matthew chapter 24, say in verse 3, it said, the disciples asked the Lord, what is the sign of thy coming and of the completion of the age? Or the end? And then, of course, in Matthew chapter 24, you'll find in verse 13 again the end. And then the end shall come. And if you connect this with Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, the Lord promised his disciples that we need to go and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all things whatsoever the Lord has enjoined us. And he said, behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of the age. So in other words, the Lord will be with us all the time until the completion of the age. So in other words, when the completion of the age comes, that means the tribulation has already passed. Do you get it? So here is another reason why it has to be post-tribulation rapture. And number four. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 25. For he must reign, that is, Christ must reign, until he put all enemies under his feet. And this word is used again in Acts chapter 2, verse 35. Acts chapter 2, verse 35. The Lord says, sit at my right hand until I have put thine enemies to be the footstool of thy feet. So in other words, the Lord will sit on the throne until all the enemies are put under his feet. Now, when will this be? Of course, at the very end. So the tribulation has already passed. And then number 5, 1 Timothy 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14, that thou keep the commandments spotless and irreproachable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep his commandments spotless, irreproachable, until the appearing, epiphania, of our Lord Jesus. In other words, until the Lord Jesus appear publicly upon this earth. Now, when he appeared, that means the Great Tribulation is already over. So these are basically the scriptures that are used to support the interpretation of post-tribulation rapture. And then you'll find there's the third school, and they are using the same scriptures to prove the, whether you call it partial rapture or selective rapture or whatever it may be. I mean that some will be raptured first and some will be raptured later on. So basically, there are these three different schools. Now, I will not go into arguments for or against. But I would like you to go through with me this evening to find out from the Word of God those scriptures, passages that speak on rapture, and to see if we can find something. Now, before we do that, let me tell you what I have found. I found that if you really study all the passages in the scripture concerning the rapture, you really can find two sets of scriptural passages. You can put them on two sides. One set of scriptures that speaks on rapture are conditional. You find there is condition given. Condition given to those who will be raptured. And then you find another set of scripture. There is no condition there. No condition upon those raptured. And strangely, you'll find all those that have conditioned the time is almost always before the Great Tribulation. But those that are without condition is always after great tribulation. Those that are with condition is raptured to the throne. Those without condition is raptured to the air. Now let me give you these sets of scriptures so you can examine them yourself. Scriptures on rapture without condition. Number one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself, with an assembling shout, with archangel's voice, and with trump of God, shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the living who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall be always with the Lord. Now, do you find any condition there? Any condition put on either the dead to be raised, or on the living who remain to be changed? No condition mentioned. And then you find, it says, the dead will be raised first, then the living who remain. Now I wonder why the Spirit of God should put that word, who remain, there. Is it not a hint that there are some who are living who do not remain? They have already gone. And when shall this happen? He said, with the trump of God. Now you find 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 and 52 is almost a parallel passage. And there it tells us the last trumpet. So when the last trumpet is sound, the kingdom of God is come. The great tribulation is over. So it is after the great tribulation. And where are these people caught up to? To the air. Not to the throne. Because Christ shall descend to the air. And they are caught up to the air. This is unconditional. Number two. We have already mentioned that, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 23, but each in his own rank, the first fruits Christ, then those that are the Christ at his coming. Then you connect it with verse 51 and 52. We have already read that the dead will be raised at the sound of the last trumpet, and we shall be changed. So here again you find there is no condition given. He said, Christ will be raised first as the first fruits, and we the living, and those that are the Christ. And those that are Christ includes all those who are the Christ at His coming. No condition. Number three. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Verse 14 and 15. And I saw, and behold, a white cloud, and on the cloud one sitting like the Son of Man, having upon his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Send thy sickle and reap, for the hour of reaping is come, for the harvest of the earth is dry. And he that sat on the cloud put his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now, of course, we know that the one who sits on the cloud with a golden crown, having a sharp sickle, it is our Lord Jesus. He is the one who sits on the cloud because he has come from the throne to the air. And then the angel said, Send thy sickle and reap, for the hour of reaping is come. Now, if you read the preceding verses, you find, for instance, in Verse 9, the third angel saying with a loud voice, If anyone do homage to the beast and to his image and receive a mark upon his head, shall also drink of the wine of the fury of God, prepare a mix in the cup of his wrath, and he shall be tormented in fire and brimstone before the holy angels and before the Lamb. So you can see that when this happened, the beast, the mark of the beast, has already happened. So, this is after the Great Tribulation. And it is the harvesting. The harvesting. Now, in the same chapter, chapter 14 of Revelation, you find from verse 1 through verse 5, you find the first fruits. You know, when you have a field of wheat, usually you will find in that lot of wheat, some of them will be ripened first because they receive more sunshine. They are dry first, and because they have already ripened, so the farmer will cut the first fruit first. And according to the Old Testament, they will take a sheaf of the first fruits and present it to the Lord. Because the first fruit is the best of the crop. It is not only the best of the crop, but it also guarantees the harvest. So here you find in the same chapter, in chapter 14, you find the first few verses tell us of the first fruit. You find 144,000
standing on Mount Zion. That is not the Mount Zion on earth, it is Mount Zion in heaven. They are the first fruits. They are the best of the crop. And they are presented to God. And then, after a certain period, you'll find the rest of the field is ripened. So the hour of harvesting has come. So there you'll find there is no condition there. It is just that the whole field will be harvested. And this is after the Great Tribulation. And it is harvested to the heir, because the one who harvested it sits in the cloud. Now basically these are the three passages, but there are others. Now let us look at the scriptures on rapture with condition. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. This is the promise that our Lord Jesus gave to the church in Philadelphia. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee out of the hour of trial, which is about to come upon the whole habitable world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now here you'll find a condition. And the condition is, thou hast kept the word of my patience. You know, the word of Christ today is the word of patience. Why? Because when our Lord was on earth, he was humiliated. Even though he is now ascended up high and in glory, yet he has not appeared in glory upon this earth. And therefore you'll find we who believe in the Lord Jesus, this is the day of our humiliation, not the day of our glory. We cannot be different from our Lord today. And because of this, it requires lot of patience, lot of endurance. He that endure to the end shall be saved. You read Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, and you can see it is the word of the patience of Christ. It is not the word of his judgment, his vengeance. It is the word of his patience. People will not know that he is the Lord of glory. But if we keep the word of his patience, by faith and patience, we inherit the kingdom. And on condition that you keep the word of his patience. How impatient we are. We want to be glorified today. We want to receive honor today. You know, just like the disciples in the early days, they want to sit on the right hand and the left hand of our Lord Jesus. They do not know that they should drink the cup and be baptized with the baptism that our Lord was baptized with. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus said, to sit on my right or left is not for me to give, it's for the Father to give. But you must drink the cup that I drink with and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. Are you able to? Now, of course, John and James, they are so anxious to sit on the right and left, so they were promised anything. They do not know what they are saying. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the day of the patience of Christ. The word that he has given us is the word of his patience. Humble ourselves, and one day he will exalt us. Now, if we keep the word of his patience, then he promised us, he will keep us out of the hour of the trial that is to come upon the whole habitable earth, upon those who dwell upon the earth. Who are the dwellers of the earth? We are sojourners, not dwellers. But unfortunately, many Christians become dwellers upon the earth. They do not keep the word of the patience of Christ. They dwell upon the earth and try to get what they can get out of this world. And if this is the case, then they will have to go through the hour of the trial that has come upon the habitable earth. Only those who keep the patience, the word of the patience of Christ, he promised them to keep them out of the hour. When the hour comes, they are no longer there. Now, this is with condition. Brothers and sisters, Do all Christians keep the word of the patience of Christ? We can judge ourselves. Number 2. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Watch, therefore, praying at every season, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things which are about to come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Here you see the condition. Watch. Pray at every season. Do all Christians watch? Do we pray at every season? Are we accounted worthy to escape? Go back to verse 34. But take heed to yourself, lest possibly your hearts be laden with the fitting and drinking and cares of life, and that day come upon you suddenly unawares, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. If we live today, eating and drinking and cares of life occupied our whole being, then that day will suddenly come as a snare and we are caught. We cannot escape. Only those who are accounted worthy to escape, because they are watching, they are praying, they are worthy to escape that which are coming. And these things that are coming, you can look at the preceding verses. And after they escape, where will they be? They will stand before the Son of Man. Where is the Son of Man today? At the throne. On the throne. So here you find it is conditional. Third, Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. John saw a vision of a woman in travail. Verse 5. And she brought forth a male son, who shall shepherd all the nations with an iron rod. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Here you'll find a man-child. A man-child that is born out of the travail of that woman. Now we will not go into deep interpretations. We don't have the time today. But here you'll find that man-child, that woman was in travail to bring forth a son, a male son. And you, here you see the dragon waiting there to devour that man-child. In other words, at that time, the woman doesn't mean too much to that dragon. He does not swallow that woman. But that womb is very important to the dragon. So he is waiting there, trying that when that man-child shall be born, he want to devour him. Now there's a reason for it. But thank God, when that man-child is born, he is taken up right to the throne. And because of this, the dragon was very angry, frustrated. So he turned to persecute the woman and the rest of her seeds, those who keep the word of God and who have the testimony of Jesus. But God keep the woman 1,260 days. It means 3.5 years. And we know the 3.5 years is the great tribulation.